this rapper he likes is really great.
Uh-huh.
And then he puts it on, and this guy's saying, like, the R word a lot. And I was like,
what's the R word?
Retard.
Oh.
And I was like, Matt, like, you can't say that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he's just saying that, like, it's not PC.
Like, that's not,
like, it's
okay.
Not okay.
No, it's not okay. We don't say the R word.
I was surprised.
In this family.
No.
No.
I'm very surprised that that was, like, a song that was very popular. It's, like, number one on the hit list or whatever.
Really? Like a rap song right now?
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
I was very disappointed in our society.
I mean, I think there's a lot to be disappointed about in our society.
No, I guess. That's, yeah.
Okay, I will try not to shuffle my papers too much.
That's okay. It makes you sound smart.
Okay, well, then in that case.
With your librarian glasses on the end of your nose.
It's just so they don't fog.
Dorcas.
Yep. I love them.
Matt and I have been joking to each other that anytime one of us does something that one doesn't like, we say, if you don't stop, I'm going to name the baby Dorcas. That's a real
right?
name, so.
Like, each of you is going to yell out a name at the, like, nurse when they're like, what are you going to name it? And then you both, like, now you name some, like, really horrible, like.
Like in The Office when she names her daughter Astrid, but they all think that she named her Asturd.
Oh, poor baby.
They're like, are you sure that's right, Asturd?
Right. All right, well, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, how are we introing? What are we doing?
Hi, Holly.
Hey, Nix.
How are you?
Happy New Year. I'm good.
Oh, yeah, Happy New Year.
Yeah, we're wearing masks, so I'm going to be breathing a little harder this
time. Yeah, we sound a little like Darth Vader.
Megan. I am the father.
The father. Of
just
all.
Just the father.
Not mine, just everyone's. Yep. My favorite thing is when I call Holly and she answers the phone and says, who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? It's true. I can't help it. I have a 12-year-old boy brain.
Same.
Just a 12-year-old brain in general.
Well.
You know. So, hold on. I want to take a sip of my tea. Welcome. This is season 2, episode 3. Mm-hmm. Of our podcast.
Yeah, we're doing it.
It's called Yoga in the Dark.
Yes.
That was real suave. You did so good just then.
I'm here.
Well, and I keep shifting with my glasses because apparently in 2021 I'm blind now. Like, I'm like looking at this print on this paper, and it did print like really small for my notes
really
today.
Tiny. I don't know why you're doing
and
that.
And I was
to
like,
yourself.
I need my spectacles. and then I'm wearing a mask because Megan's pregnant, and like, you know, it's just good.
It's just good to do that right now.
Right now it is.
It is.
I know even Jacoby, my son, he was the voice of reason last night. We went to dinner. And at first he was like, I don't know, Mom. We're finally in the orange. Like, shouldn't we just keep doing what we're doing so that we can, like, get to a different color?
That's
literally what he said. I was like, you have a point. And I was like, but Ted said they have the booths and we can, like, go in and we'll wear our masks the whole way and, like, sit down.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, okay, it's fine. But, yeah, he was being the voice of reason. But, yes, we are wearing masks. Megan's due in July.
Yep.
July 4th of all dates.
Yep.
That's a better thing to celebrate than actual July 4th. So,
once I get a vaccine.
Have your baby on July 4th.
You can take your mask off.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that. Perfect.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I won't be fogging up my glasses.
Yeah.
Because we know I'm going to still need those.
Yeah.
I can ditch the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the spectacles.
And I'm hoping it's going to be available to pregnant women soon. Because I think we're considered high risk.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think you can check into it. So, it's my turn to present today.
Woohoo!
I'm so excited.
That's good because I'm really tired.
Fuck, I am too, but.
I'm just here to listen and sound pretty.
You already are doing
great.
Thank
you.
Well, Yogi's here with us, my pup. And, yeah, we are going to talk about a great topic since you were telling me about how tired you were, are, myself included. And also how freaking tired I have felt as well. And for a minute, I think I need to take actually a couple of breaths because I feel a little winded.
Let's all take a few breaths. Everyone, wherever you are, if you're not driving, close your eyes.
Oh, let's do that, Megs. You want to lead us?
Yeah. And with eyes closed, take a deep inhale for about 4 seconds. Hold. And then exhale for 4. Hold the breath out at the bottom. Inhale for 4. Hold, exhale for 4. Hold, one more, inhale. And exhale. And feel your feet wherever they are on the ground.
Thanks. I put you to work after you told me you were the one tired.
I know.
You want me to lead you now?
Sorry, mothers never rest.
Ain't that the fucking truth? I've been a mom for 20 years now. It's insane.
I'm always like, oh, I can sit down and relax for 15 minutes after I do these 2 hours of things.
Seriously.
And it's also very exciting still.
Yep. So, thank you. I actually feel a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. With everything, did you spill? Like, look over so you all and see. Like, Megan's pants are wet.
I promise I didn't pee myself. That will come in third trimester.
That's down the line. And then for the rest of your motherhood, don't cough or sneeze too hard.
Without crossing your legs first.
It's so true. Oh, boy. I cross my legs definitely when I sneeze now. Because I just know.
You know. Anytime I talk about, like...
Having a kid will do that to you.
Anytime I talk about, like, one of the really disturbing or unfun parts of being pregnant or being a mom, that I always follow it up with, it's a miracle.
It's such a blessing.
It's a gift from the angel.
I love it. Oh, boo-boo. Y'all are probably going to hear Yogi maybe groan a little bit in the background. He has grown to be so vocal in the last couple of months, especially ever since he, like, got sick and, like, had to drop a pretty penny to keep him alive at the vet. And, oh, I just love this animal. But he has, like, since then, we've bonded much more. Yeah, he, like, comes to me. He talks to me and, like, moves his mouth. Like, he'll look at me with this, like, eyes all earnest, and he goes... And I'm like, what are you trying to tell me? I don't
That's
know.
That's so cute.
He's adorable.
He does this thing where he rubs his face. He'll, like, just rub his face on his paws and just groan. Like, it sounds like it feels so good. It's the cutest sound. So you guys might hear that during this.
He's pretty adorbs. Let's begin. I know I've said that like 3 times, but we just keep talking.
We're beginning for the 10th time, but I'm ready. What is your topic today?
Okay, I made Megan wait, y'all, so everybody's finding out at the same time. Well, I found an article that I kind of want to reference throughout, but I also have like some other kind of things that I'm inserting in. The article is titled, Why is Self-Care So Hard? By Keegan Boulevard. Is that their name? Hold the phone. Okay, I'll put their, like, the credits in the notes.
When we figure out who wrote it, we'll tell you.
Yeah, I don't know where I got it. No, like, actually what I did is I have it pulled up on my computer, but, like, I highlighted all the words, but not anything else, and then just printed that.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry.
So basically, you're just...
I'm not trying to plagiarize. No! Don't read my mind.
Okay.
So I really liked this article because of a couple of reasons. So one is I started my own program that I'm chiseling away at and going to eventually turn into, I want to it to be like an ebook and have like kind of a do-it-yourself, like a self-paced option. There's going to be like a workshop option. There's going to be eventually like it would be like a retreat option. I mean, not for 100 days, but like some kind of something around that. But it's I think I've told you about it. It's called 500 Promises.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, when I was telling Megan about 500 Promises, she thought I was making like 500 promises a day.
I was like, good Lord, well, you're like, too much time on your hands.
You're like, I know Jacoby just moved out and you're like kidless now, but it's a little bit much. No, and I was like, no, Megs, it's five. It's the same promises, same five promises a day for 100 days. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, I'm on day 13 right now, and it's become more of a habit now. So I'm like constantly, because I am creating the book in my journal. And so that's like the blueprint that I'm going to later now. And I keep having this like urgency to turn around and like get it in the, in an ebook option, which will occur soon, but one step at a time, right?
Cool.
So it all kind of goes hand in hand. So the article itself, I really liked it because it answers or attempts to answer the question, like, why is self-care so hard when everybody really does know what they need? Right. Like, first, to a certain degree, we all kind of know what's good for us and what nourishes us. And we kind of do know and understand to a degree what, you know, takes away from that. One of the things that this person, who I will figure out who they are later, says that it's oh, do you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
Oh, no.
Wow. What's happening?
There's like a static force coming in suddenly.
Okay. We're back. Y'all, we hit some weird technical difficulties. Mm-hmm. We heard all the static. I mean, duh, you all heard it too, but we're back. In between that, Megan threw her phone, and for whatever reason, the computer stopped recording. Like Audacity, like our program just stopped. And there was like a warning sign and whatever. I don't know. We digress. Not sure what happened.
And to be clear, I threw my phone like across the room onto a couch.
Onto a couch.
Like, yeah. Angrily, she didn't like throw angrily... it and break it or something. Yeah. I haven't done that in years. Days.
Days.
Years. Years.
Girl, I haven't done it since last Tuesday. I don't exactly remember where I was at, but I'm going to keep going as much as I can. I think I remember talking about saying that we basically create self-sabotage because self-care comes from a deeper place. And the new frame of thinking that we're trying to move towards is that self-care is by way of self-worth. And that should be the navigation or the moral, like, I don't even know why I said moral, that was weird. I'm just the compass. That's our northern star. It's our nova.
So you're saying that maybe one of the reasons that people don't self-care is because that deep down they don't feel worthy of it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't feel worthy of it. I mean, how many times do you, like, even in massage, we as massage therapists, like, how many times have you heard somebody say, like, oh, I'm just going to treat myself, you know, or they haven't had a massage in like a year. Mm-hmm. And it's like they only do it on their birthday.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Self-care is most definitely attached to our self-worth, and our ability to tap into our self-worth is going to help us actually create a self-care routine or regimen or practice that is reflective of that self-worth.
Totally. So self-care is basically self-love.
Absolutely.
And if you can't say I love myself, I want to give myself love today, then you're not going to do any things you know you're supposed to do.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to hit pause really quick because I know we're having so many interruptions. I need my inhaler.
Okay, get your inhaler.
Mama can't breathe.
What's going on?
Okay. I think we're recording again. Yep. Looks like it. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yep, okay, we're good. All right. What was the last thing you heard me say? I'm asking the pregnant woman to remember.
Holly, you have to remember that my brain has shrunken to create life.
Oh, your brain is shrunken.
It hasn't shrunken. I just have less blood flow to my brain. Because your heart gets a lot bigger when you're pregnant. Because you have like 50% more blood in your body.
Yeah.
So my blood's just all going to the baby.
Yeah.
And my brain is very depleted of
the brain
juice.
Is bludgeoned and the baby gets all the blood. Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Yes, Megan, self-care is about self-worth.
That's what we were talking about. That's what I said.
So the aspects of self-care, which we were talking about and then recognized that we actually weren't recording anymore. Thank goodness Yogi dropped a death bomb fart underneath you and we were like moving around and I was like, oh, it's not recording.
Never even would have noticed.
Yeah, an hour fucking later.
Good Lord, didn't we do that one time?
Oh, we did do that and we had to re-record. Yep. Only one time. One time is enough for that to happen for you to be like, never again. Yes. Okay, here we go. So in relationship to developing self-worth, we know that, or we can learn that self-care is about listening to your body, your mind, and your feelings, knowing that they all matter, and also knowing that self-care is actually pretty challenging. You know, I have acknowledged to lots of people that self-care is challenging because we get a lot of messages that self-care is selfish or that it's indulgent or as we are should be selfless or self-sacrificing, right? And what's really true is that we're only as good to others as we are to ourselves. Eckhart Tolle says something along those lines. He says something like, a person can love you only to the capacity that they are awake. I look at that like as with like relationships and love, like and self-care, like a person can only be there for you to the degree that they are there for themselves. And that's also communicating, and that's an extension of self-care, which means that we create and develop like really healthy boundaries. That's something I definitely had to learn to do. So
I'm still learning that.
You know, me too. I am. I think I've definitely gotten a pretty good practice down. But I still have those situations that come up that make me feel anxious. Like I actually had to say no to a client in the last couple of months that asked me, you know, people confide in you on when they're on the massage table. I mean, a lot of times I try to get people to just relax and chill out and you know, people will talk to you, and this person had shared with me like some details about their, you know, relationship and blah, 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 but then wanted me to like read an email, and like, it's around Christmas time and like wants me to like process it with them. And like, it just, for me, I was like, I had to check in with that. And I've gotten to a place where I've gotten more concise with my boundaries and not in a way that's like apologetic or righteous. And that's my hope and intention. So he basically just wrote back something like, I think I'm way not qualified to do that for you, but I hope you have a great, I hope you have a great new year.
Maybe you have a great new year. Maybe you need a therapist.
A real therapist. Well, right. And I could say that too, but I just was like, I think that's out of my scope.
Yeah.
But good happy for you. New year.
I feel like I've gotten a lot better at boundaries too in the last few years.
Yeah.
But I think it's still a like constant practice and like a learning game, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I told you about that. I had a crazy situation with, I mean, I don't want to divulge too much, but I had a crazy situation with a classmate a little while back where I really had to have boundaries. And when it came down to it, it was like my bleeding heart, my open heart wants to help. And at times, like, then you realize that your help is being overextended, it's being taken instead of it being like offered. Yeah. And at some point you have to have a boundary in order to preserve your mental health.
So true.
Right? You have to preserve your mental health. You have to preserve your energy, your time, and your self-worth. And that includes protecting the relationships that are important to you. So that you know, all the way down to our daily interactions. Another part of about self-care is allowing yourself to experience self-care as a joyful practice. I think it was a part, and I hope, I don't know if we're repeating it, so I'll cut it out if we did, but you said
my
something
address.
Like, no, that actually didn't get recorded. You guys said it was, I almost gave Megan's mad address out, and I don't know what
Holly
I was thinking.
Holly just has a death wish for me.
Apparently. I'm all, here's her exact coordinates. For real. No, you said something about like, well, why do we want to do the bad things? And yeah. I was like, because we get bored. Like,
why
we
does
get
it bored. Feel so good to be so bad?
It feels good to be bad sometimes. Like, I told you something along the lines, like, I love breaking from my schedule. But back in the day when I didn't have a lot of self-worth, my breaking away and getting to going out and dancing and, like, I was a little reckless. Mm-hmm. You know, it was actually, it wasn't self-care at that point in time. It was a lot of self-deprecation mm-hmm. and a lot of self-sacrificing my nutrition, self-sacrificing my sleep schedule, self-sacrificing just feeling good. And because I was like afraid to like be alone or afraid mm-hmm. to find friends that were a little more present and aware and considerate, you know? So our self-worth is, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, words have been hard lately, Megs.
Maybe my pregnancy brain is contagious.
I'm going to blame you. That's mm-hmm. great. Thank you.
You can blame me.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. Well, I'm just saying, like, if we can learn to work on our self-worth, our perspective will start to shift mm-hmm. around how available we are to our own self-care practice and how available we are to joy. And then we begin to shift in a way that we can take on self-care practices that actually cultivate joy in our lives. Mm-hmm. And then we move into more alignment with feeling and cultivating self-worth on a daily basis. And then our self-care practice actually just becomes something that's second nature.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I share something?
Please.
Because this is resonating with me a lot right now. Mm. I, like, my biggest, like, downfall with self-care is mm-hmm. screen time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, like, a Facebook scroller or anything like that, but, like, I love watching TV.
Yeah, she watches The Office like it's her job.
So, I'm glad you brought that up because, so, there was a while where I needed The Office on to sleep. Mm-hmm. And
I know, I used to live with you and I used to listen yeah. to it on your laptop. I'd go to the bathroom, you guys, and I'd go to the bathroom and it'd be like 3 a.m. and I would hear The Office playing.
Which I know is like rotting my brain. Like, it's not okay. Aww. But it was just, it was something that comforted me in a mm-hmm. time of trauma that I just held on to. But I've always known I need to kick that habit. I've mm-hmm. always known that. And mm-hmm. when I'm really not taking good care of myself, I'm like binge watching TV a lot. It's like this tactic mm-hmm. I learned when I was a kid, you know, to like disassociate from reality. Mm-hmm. And so lately I got an injury and I was so mad about it. Mm-hmm. I was so mad about it. But I guess what I learned from it in the end, because usually when you get an injury, it's just the universe telling you, you need to slow down
right.
and take a look at what you're doing. So I was forced to be like, okay, I've had these things that I've been meaning to do for my self-care for a long time. And I've been, you know, making excuses not to do them. Mm-hmm. My first excuse was that I had morning sickness. So, and then my first trimester ended and I just kept on going. And Matt kept saying, oh, I thought you were going to stop watching so much TV when you entered second trimester. And I was like, shut up. So finally, I got this injury, and I had to just look at myself and be like, well, if I'm going to have a lot of rest time and downtime instead of watching more TV, I'm just going to pull out all those books I've been meaning to read. I'm going to, like, read a lot. I signed up for this 21-day meditation that I didn't start. I was like, I started that meditation. I pulled mm-hmm. out all my books. I've been reading, and, like,
nice.
Just felt so much better about it. But I feel like the main thing that people don't realize, or I think what it takes practice, is that happiness is different than contentment. You can mm-hmm. get like temporary happiness from like eating a piece of cake and watching TV, mm-hmm. but it's not contentment. It's like you said, it's going to maybe deprive you of joy.
Well, it's fleeting. And it's fleeting, so, just like that episode.
Exactly.
Right?
So then the self-care is what's going to have like a longer lasting feeling of peace and contentment, which in the end brings you a lot more sustainable joy than like
absolutely.
The quick fixes that we do, or we're like, oh, absolutely. I'm just gonna do this instead of meditating, or yeah,
right. Well, or the you know, and we we get in our own way all the time. Like, we are literally our own glass ceiling, and mm-hmm. we are our own container as well. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. I love that you brought up the word happiness, because I have been the last couple of days, I have been pulling a card in the morning. My mom's death anniversary was this week, yesterday, the 8th. Today is the 9th, right? Is today the 9th? It's a Saturday.
Again.
Whatever. Yeah, I don't know pregnancy why you're asking brain. Me. That's okay. Anyway, well, I keep pulling the same effing card. Mm. So this card, that's my Yogi Amrit, the side deck that I got while I was down there at the ashram, and it is labeled happiness. And it says, happiness is your individual choice. The source of happiness is within you. Mm-hmm. So something that I recognize about happiness and contentment is, you know, happiness can be fleeting, but contentment can definitely be a lot more of a permanent, grounded, kind of stable feeling that we can cultivate within ourselves. And that actually leads to understanding that self-care is and should and could be a lifestyle, and that it's, you know, knowing that there's going to be ups and downs, there's going to be always going to be something that if we look for it, that can get in the way of our self-care practice. And it's ultimately an opportunity for us to kind of check in with our behaviors of talking ourselves out of things when we feel tired, you know, like what sets in when the motivation to do our self-care practice is gone. And that's what we're cultivating when it comes to self-worth. Mm-hmm. You know, self-worth says, yes, I'm really tired, but I promised myself I was going to do XYZ. I'm going to do it right now. Or, yes, I know I had that to do, but I promised myself that if I needed to do a 20-minute meditation because I'm exhausted and it's 2:00 in the afternoon, I'm going to do that. You know, it's those things of checking in. You know, the body constantly does that. Mm-hmm. The body is never at this, like, point in place that's stagnant and stays the same. You know, the body moves in and out of homeostasis, that movement of the fluctuating. It's like our blood pressure. Our blood pressure is never the same. It's always fluctuating. Our heart rate is always fluctuating. That's what a self-care practice can start to look like for us, is checking in with those kind of things and saying, what is it that I really need right now? What would actually create a more sustainable feeling, like you said, for the rest of my day, for the rest of my week, the rest of the month, the rest of the year?
And the more you do it, right, the more you want to do it. Like, in the beginning, meditation is so hard, but now if I go a whole day without some kind of meditation, I feel deprived from that instead of, you know, the whatever
exactly
things that you used to do, like,
right,
that were bad for you.
Well,
you know?
Yes, and that leads me to this picture that you called a bullseye, and I eat a boob.
Does it is like a boob. It,
I mean, yeah, it's there, like, is a circle inside,
it's like
a
circle of writing.
Well, so I made this many years ago, and I've had it on my fridge, and it's really funny because I pulled it down this last week and really was getting clear on just from some conversations that I was having, you know, with friends, and realizing that this was something that really helped me a few years ago. So it's called The Circle of Influence, and it's from a book I was reading back in the day called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. He talks about what the circle of influence is. So I'm just going to read what this says. And if there's a way for me to post it in the notes, I will, or something. We'll see. But it says, your circle of influence will expand little by little as you tend to what is in your direct control. The circle of concern is out of reach, so as long as you continue to focus your efforts from the outside in. Self-mastery is the key to healthy relationships, solid bonds, and connections, and will lead you to expand your level of positive influence on others, your children, and the world. So what Stephen Covey says in his book is basically, like, there are tons of things that we have in our direct control. Tons. and we give our power away constantly, constantly. And we have been conditioned by our society to focus outside of ourselves. That is the circle of concern. So say like for me, I have a huge concern of like the trauma that occurs to children. I have a huge concern with trauma survivors. Like I really want to help people with that, right? I have a huge concern with Western society and how fast and on the go, go, go we always are, which is why I took up meditation, right? That's a circle of concern, but it's outside of me. And a lot of times what we do is instead of cultivating these things that are within our direct control for ourselves first, we think that we're going to attain happiness by focusing our efforts outside of things that are quite a lot bigger than us, a lot bigger than us than we can actually take on. And if we were to look at it, instead of it not being that you're not going to help anymore, it's that the more you cultivate your circle of influence here first, then your circle of influence, actually, the circumference of that circle begins to grow. The diameter begins to grow. And so your circle of influence gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and gets you to a place where then you can actually work on the circle of concern because you've worked within first. Mm-hmm. And so I love this concept because mm-hmm. it's something that made me really start to look at, well, what was I doing and how was I giving my power away in my own self-care practice and why I couldn't be consistent and why I struggled to have like really any discipline. So in the innermost circle, here are some examples of some things that we have that are in our direct control that we oftentimes assume that we don't have choice. So it is, and I'm going to try not to turn the paper a whole bunch. I made this years ago and I thought that this was so like savvy. I was like, I know, I'll draw it all in a circle all the way until it's like down to whatever. Anyway, so it's these things are in your circle of influence. Your attitude, your enthusiasm, what you read, where you work, what you buy, what skills you learn, where you live, places you travel to, articles and books you write and read, how you choose to respond to people, places, and situations, your level of self-care, learning from your mistakes, how much you want to grow, how you spend your free time, what you eat, the friends you choose, and your self-growth. So all of these things are in direct control. Mm-hmm. Like even when you're driving in traffic, traffic is not in your direct control, but you have direct control over your brake and your gas. Mm-hmm. You have direct control over that radio. You have direct control if you choose to get on your phone or not. Like we have so many things that are in direct control. And we constantly negate them as being things that actually empower us. Mm-hmm. And so he goes on in the book to basically say, here are some ways that you can self-care that are going to inherently increase your self-worth. Mm-hmm. So prioritizing deadlines, fostering healthy boundaries, taking care of your body, mind, and perceptions, love from a place of duty until you can love from a place of true service, work diligently to improve yourself and the way you treat others, let go of those needed and send them love. Choose not to hate. Choose to take responsibility for your reactions, mistakes, boundaries, and response. Choose to love. Choose to educate yourself. And choose a life worth living.
Wow.
Right? Cool. So these are all really beautiful things mm-hmm. and lovely ways to inspire us to step into more worthy practices. So I will close with this.
I'm impressed that you read that without getting dizzy.
Oh, the first time I pulled it out after, like, pulled it off the fridge, I was, like, trying to read it to Gavin, and I was just, like, literally, it was
because it's just written in a circle all the way until the center.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
It actually looks really cool.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I had it on my fridge literally for, like, probably the last 4 years because it's really important to me. I mean, stuff like this is important, yeah. And I think that so many people would use the excuse of, well, I have this in my way, and that's why I can't do this. You know, but really we have a lot of things in our direct control every day. Mm-hmm. And that's what led me to my 5 promises a day for 100 days. So 500 promises. And the reason why I was getting really clear on this was because this self-care topic has been something that I have had to learn for myself for the last like 15 years. I definitely did not even prioritize even things like brushing my teeth. Like, wow. I used to like forget to brush my teeth for like 2 or 3 days.
Whoa.
I'd be like, yeah. I mean, I was like never really taught how to really take care of myself. Yeah. You know, I was never really taught to slow down and, you know, limit my screen time or, you know, take a bath or anything really. It's challenging when you aren't really surrounded by that. So I'm not going to negate that, how challenging it is to really cultivate self-worth within your self-care practice.
Yeah.
So the five promises is this: nutrition, mental health, movement, introspection, and abundance. So as I'm developing and designing this, there's going to be lots of options for people to choose what nutrition means for them. But ultimately, it's going to say, like, eat a healthy diet and obviously strive to drink a gallon of water a day. Like, mm-hmm. really give yourself what it needs. And then no alcohol. You know, that's something that I had to really, like, kind of check in with, especially mm-hmm. as we know in the earlier aspects of our podcasting, we had quite a bit of wine and it was really fun and I enjoyed a lot of those times. But also underneath it, tough year, mom dies, pandemic, I quit my job of 15 years. Like, there's just so much going on for so many people, so it makes sense sometimes why I would use the excuse of like, well, what else are we gonna do?
Yeah,
you know. But not drinking for me right now is really pushing me to find something else when I'm feeling that sensation. And mm-hmm. it would have just been easy to go and grab a little, you know, Prosecco, because mama loves her bubbly.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
I love my bouts of sobriety.
Right.
Honestly, like, I usually take like a few months every few months.
That's excellent. Well, and I want this to be something where, you know, maybe I only drink a few times a year. Like, mm-hmm. I want it to be something where it's not a normalized aspect for me.
Yeah.
For me, because I'm noticing I'm on day 13 now of my 100 days. And for one of our cheat meals, because we get a cheat meal a week too, that mm-hmm. the condition is that you can have a cheat meal so as long as you share it with a loved one.
Aww,
like, you can't just have a cheat meal by yourself. Sweet. You have to have it with a loved one. It's a rule. So that's a part of this is like, this isn't just a self-care practice in these five promises that are just like, it's all about me. It's actually about like something that has occurred to me, like, especially if experiences that, you know, we've had in the last like year and that you haven't experienced with people, and especially in our spiritual community. You know, I can't tell you how many people I've met who seem to have honed in on this like amazing spiritual practice, but then when you get to know them a little bit deeper, you see that their relationships are suffering around them, or they're always full of like, they seem to have like these bouts of chaos around mm-hmm. them. And it's because like, you have to cultivate connection and relationship mm-hmm. if you want your self-care practice to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't do it alone, you know?
Totally.
So yeah. So day 6, I have cheat meal with my boo, which we totally did. And I had a glass of champagne. They had like a Corona, and we both felt so tired the next day that I was just like, you know what? This for me, the next 100 days, like, is, I want to do it without any alcohol. Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. And later down the line, I actually, and interestingly, the way the universe works and like the way these little coincidences, I bought a mindfulness magazine for our vision boarding. And there was an article in there about consciously imbibing is what they called it. Like, you imbibe on purpose. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know. Well, I know it in the terms of like, imbibing means to put fluid in. And so like, when you think of like alcohol as a fluid, as a tonic, as something that you would purposefully use, you get really clear on your intention of it. Just the way, like in the way that like a shaman would get really intentional on what it's what they're ingesting before they go into ceremony.
Okay.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, if you're going to drink, do it for reasons that feel really, really good for you.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's down the line. I want to get really clear on that for myself. So the mental health piece, that's the other piece of these five promises. is so many fitness programs, so many, you know, even like yoga programs, like a lot of these don't look at the challenging aspects of mental health. Mm. And, you know, so for me, a primary component was rededicating myself to no less than 20 minutes of meditation every single day. Mm-hmm. If I have 20 minutes to scroll, if I have 20 minutes to, you know, do whatever, you know, I have 20 minutes to set.
Totally.
And a lot of times, you know, I'm able to now do it during the day, or I do it first thing in the morning. Or if I really did have a busy day, then I do it at the end of the night and I put on a 20-minute one that helps me fall asleep. It's, you know, mm-hmm. still keeping that commitment. Mm-hmm. And then other aspects of my mental health is, you know, if that particular day, like day four, I took a bath and I had regular therapy. So that's another commitment, is that I'm going to ensure, like I always have, that I see my therapist. It's a piece of my mental health that is really important to me. But
which
the one
I recommend everyone does.
Oh, everybody, go to therapy.
Even if you like don't think you're quote unquote crazy or yeah, whatever you reason you've been telling yourself to not go to therapy, just go to therapy. No matter who you are.
Well, let's break
the
bias.
You're going to need it. It's going to help.
Let's break the bias, because here's the thing.
None of us are not fucked up.
No. And we all have an opportunity, instead of looking at it as some stigmatized thing of that there's something wrong with you. How about we look at mental health as a cultivation of spirit and soul mm-hmm. and of identity and of learning ourselves. And if you're walking in and you find somebody who you can hold space with and can be objectively there for you, there is no limits to what somebody can unpack and learn and grow from and heal. And that's the thing around mental health. Like, our society is like way behind. They need to catch the fuck yes. up. Like, mental health should be just as important as
brushing
your teeth. Absolutely.
Seriously. Right? I mean, going to therapy is just knowing yourself.
Yep.
That's all it is.
It's purposefully entering into dialogue with oneself. And it means that you're willing to put your ego aside long mm-hmm. enough to say, wow, I react really strongly when XYZ mm-hmm. happens. What the F is that all about? You know? So
yeah, there's nothing wrong with bettering yourself.
Exactly.
And then if you do have someone that you see regularly, even if sometimes when I'm super busy, I can only see my therapist like once every couple of months. Mm-hmm. Like maybe like I don't think I've seen her right now for 3 or 4 months. And usually I see her weekly or mm-hmm. monthly.
Sure.
But like, I still keep up on it even when I'm not like actively mm-hmm. going every week. So I'm seeing her next week. And the thing is, if you regularly see someone, then if something bad does happen to you, you have a safety net.
Yep.
You feel okay. You already
you
have someone
system.
Who knows you that you can go to and be like,
yeah,
oh my gosh, this is happening. What do I do? And mm-hmm. you don't have to establish a relationship with someone in the middle of a trauma that you're experiencing.
Exactly. And that's the thing. A lot of people will choose to take on a self-care practice when they're in the middle mm-hmm. of a crisis.
Yeah.
And that's just one way that they're just trying to manage. They're not actually doing it from a place of self-worth. They're doing it from a place of management. Mm-hmm. And that's not a self-care practice that's going to be sustainable
sure.
ever.
Yeah.
It's just not. Mm-hmm. So moving on, the next promise is movement. And again, the people down the line are going to be able to create what movement is for them. I've chosen 60 minutes no matter what. But the thing that's really great about it is it includes a lot of things. Like, I got really creative with the list later on. I was like, oh, 60-minute minimum means that's yoga, that's sex, that's hiking, that's biking, that's going to the park with your best friend and their baby. That's going, that's massaging all day. Like, I massaged all day on Wednesday. And mm-hmm. I counted that as my movement. I calculated it. I did 5.5 hours of massage. That means I was on my feet, using my hands and forearms, and like literally burning calories. Like,
totally.
That was my movement for the day. And then I rewarded myself that day with a bath and like really good food, you know? So the last two were ones that came from, again, wanting to cultivate that connection within self and in the outer, and that goes into our circle of concern. So introspection. So my five promises includes a journal prompt. So every day there's going to be a unique journal prompt that I'm developing as I'm making this, because obviously I'm only on day 13. And so I'm actually utilizing my own personal experience to kind of be like, what's kind of coming up in my mind today? And like, what's coming up with me in this process? And then I'm putting a journal prompt in. So for example, something that I did as a journal prompt was, on day 3, the journal prompt was, and you write for about 5 minutes because, never mind, you just write for 5 minutes. I'll tell the other part. I got ahead of myself. But the journal prompt was to take inventory. And it said, how do you actually spend your time? And without blame, shame, or guilt, make a list of how much time you spend watching TV, scrolling on social media, opening, reading emails, playing video games, smoking and drinking, online shopping, watching porn. I mean, you get the point, right? We had to throw that last one in there. Right? But, you know, basically it was like, you know, I made myself briefly journal a few notes about what I noticed. And so one of the things that I realized is that I really did need to set some awareness around my internet usage, around my usage of my Instagram, my Facebook. So what I did, and it's a gentle reminder, and there are times where I do ignore it and I'm very conscious that I'm ignoring it. And what's funny is I realize I'm not going back on actually that much more after I've set a limit. And it's because I recognize that I set that limit for a reason. So I still think 90 minutes is a lot every day, but I set my Instagram for it to be an hour long limit. And then I set my Facebook to be a 30-minute limit because I'm actually not on Facebook that often. I haven't hit that limit very much, but the Instagram one, I hit that limit every day after an hour, and it tells you it's all 5-minute limit. And then you have to either hit okay or like, remind me in 15 minutes.
I didn't even know you could do that on Instagram.
You can totally do that. Well, you set it through your phone.
Wow.
If you go into your general settings, you scroll down, you can hit screen time. And then you can set limits on all these different apps. Hello, parents. This is an excellent thing to do.
This is a life hack, y'all.
With your kids. It's an excellent thing to do with your kids. I wish that I'd had more of that because I used to just battle with my kids and just shut off the internet and make them do chores to get the internet passcode. I don't know if you remember me doing that with them.
Yeah.
But you can do this with them on their phones, and we should be doing this. It helps me be so aware. I have hit that limit every single day, and there have been at least 3 times in the last 13 days that I have hit it and put like, because I just like was like, oh, I just want to do it. So just ignore the whole like thing and turn it off and kept Instagramming for the day. But it's a conscious choice, right? So my conscious choice was that I needed to really watch how I spend my time.
See, that's how I'm with House Hunters.
Yeah.
Yep, it ends and I'm like,
that's your show.
More. But
that's me with House of Cards lately. Oh my gosh.
I've also found a life hack on the iPhone that if you go to your timer, then you can set a timer and then underneath it you can scroll it to say stop playing. So when the timer goes off, it'll stop your phone from whatever it's doing. So if I can't sleep one night, you know, if Matt's like snoring and just awake from 3 to 6 every morning because I'm pregnant and that's just what happens, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, I just want to put on The Office to help me fall asleep. Instead of putting on The Office and listening to it while I sleep for the next 6 or 7 hours, I can set a timer and be like, turn off in 15 minutes, turn it on, and then I'll fall asleep and then it turns it off.
So
that's a really good – I think that's another really good like option for you to have. Like if you are – trying to limit your screen time, set your timer on your phone and just shut
it
off.
A reminder.
And you're gonna be like, oh, I guess it's time to stop.
Yeah. Well, and it was funny because it actually it's a reparenting of ourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we are parented in ways, and all parents fuck up, okay? So there's no one like perfect formula.
I'm perfect.
You are the best mother I've ever met in my entire life. So
yes, please DM me for advice.
That's not wrong. So no, but you know, like I realized that I was given some of those limits, but not all of those limits. So it's good to actually
step back
towards that.
Same, I had a TV in my room. My dad would come and tuck me in and turn my TV on and leave. Like, that's why I can't sleep without TV. I love you, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
You're fine. Honestly, he thought he was, you know, he thought that was his way of, like, parenting. Like, being good parent. What Yogi's Disney movie like you want to watch? Staring at me in the eye right now.
Hey, Yogs.
What do you need, bud? You want some pets?
Yeah, he's being needy. Aww. He's looking at you with those eyes.
He just came up to me and like 2 inches away from my face.
You know what song just popped in my head with it?
What?
Hungry eyes. I can't deny it. Yeah. So, all right, moving on.
He's such a sweet dog. I love this dog.
I know, he's great. So, I'll give one more example of a journal prompt that I'm sorry, I keep
getting you off track.
No, you're fine. So, another journal question was... Oh, this one was around boundaries. Around day 8, I, you know, just had these ponderings of like, what does it mean to overextend yourself? You know, some of the writing that I had is like, well, because there are people who take advantage of the vulnerable. So like, we feel as if we need to take care of the vulnerable. So a lot of times we move into self-sacrifice, which is actually does not come from a place of worthiness. It comes from a place of guilt. And that's not a reason to be in service of others.
Good old-fashioned Catholic guilt. So annoying.
Christian guilt, too. Right? So then in under introspection is also three gratitudes and three manifestations. That's been something that I've really enjoyed. I actually, like, I think it's so important. You've talked to me about having gratitude lists. We've talked about it many times on the podcast. And what I recognize is by having and listing three gratitudes a day, it helps me really appreciate the little things.
So
like,
true.
Right, there was one day where literally one of my gratitudes that I keep remembering, because it was just, I was so cold, I was doing all this laundry, and I pulled all this laundry out, and two matching pairs, like a matching pair of socks, like literally kind of fell at my feet, and I put them on, and they were so warm and toasty, and I was like, oh, warm socks out of the dryer. I'm so grateful. Like, it was just so, I mean, so cheesy, but it's like, you know.
It'll change your life, though, literally. I mean, you'll become a happy person if you start practicing gratitude.
Well, exactly. I mean, and it kind of, it also makes us look at the differentiation of, another one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Yogs. Woo! Okay, y'all, hold on. Pause.
Oh, Yogi Bear.
Yogi, come on.
Go upstairs. This was like rotten Cheetos and egg salad. Oh, my God. That dog, he likes to sit. Wherever he's sitting in the room, he points his butt right at me. It's like he has something against me. Hoo-wee.
Sorry, babe.
Wow. I'm okay. I know. It's okay. I have a pregnancy nose. My sense of smell is very heightened.
God, mine too. Here, I'll wave it. Here, I'll wave it away from you. Oh, it is bad.
It's really bad.
I'm really sorry.
It's okay. It's not your fault.
It's like having, he's like a perpetual toddler, man. Stinky, messy. Every time I put his toys away, he literally like drags them back out.
Yep. Sounds like my life.
So true.
At least you don't have too much of an empty nest that way, right?
No, totally. He is my forever child. So back to what you were saying, that journal prompt of what does it mean to overextend yourself? And it just kind of asks people to really look at... how to set good boundaries.
Yeah.
And then lastly, oh, and then the three manifestations, that one's also a really great. Oh, no, I moved on. Gosh, see, I had a moment. Blah, 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 blah. We were talking about gratitudes. Now we're going to talk about manifestations.
Okay.
So three manifestations, that one's just been every day. I kind of have to push myself. That one's been a lot more challenging than gratitude because I'm asking myself to manifest like different things every day. And at first it was a little challenging. It's getting a little bit easier, but you know, it's everything from, let's see, I'll give an example. 3 G's, where's my 3 M's? Oh, here we go. I attract clients, work for myself 100% and make 60 grand next year. So that's like a manifestation. And then I wrote, I maintain focus on my commitments. And then the third one this day was 500 promises is wanted and needed. Because it's kind of nerve-wracking to be like, this is something that people are going to want. And I know that.
Totally.
Like, I want to believe that in my bones. And so I really actually have to write about it, talk about it, look at it, and cultivate it in order to manifest it. Okay, and then last but certainly not least, this is actually one that has been huge. And it's not something that I thought was possible. And I'm really pushing myself to be disciplined on it because it's around money and abundance and attraction. Mm-hmm. So I call it attract because I keep thinking of Wayne Dyer and his law of attraction and how it's like it's give and take. And I do believe in that kind of karmic exchange when it comes to money and abundance in all forms. Mm-hmm. So under attract, this particular promise, I have that 10% of all of my income, no ifs, ands, or buts, goes into my savings. Mm-hmm. And that is for emergencies only. So I know it sounds, at first, I was like, oh man, I'm going to be doing this a lot. But honestly, it's kind of exciting now. So even when I have one day where I only have one client, I get paid by them, I immediately take 10%. And even though it's like, so say like maybe I get like $150, I will put $15 in my savings.
Good.
Just do it right then.
Yeah.
And I don't wait to do it at the end of the week. I don't say, oh, I'll just do it once a week. I don't have the discipline to do that right now. So I have to cultivate this. And I have to actually, I've had to really check in with that because me putting 10% away into my savings is paying me. Mm-hmm. And I suck at saving.
Yeah,
I suck at saving.
I know you do.
Ugh.
I do too.
Okay, thank you for admitting your faults.
The 10% thing really works though. I used to do that.
It's
yeah,
fucking
I kind
great.
Of fell out of it, but it was really good. But a lot of times my thing would be then I would end up having to spend it on something. So do you have a rule where once you put 10% away, you can't touch it?
It's emergencies only.
Okay, got it.
So that means if like, I mean, that includes my kids, that includes, I mean, I had a savings after everything this last summer and then Yogi got sick and I dropped $1,700.
Yeah.
But I needed to save him. Like I was like, it was a life or death choice. And yeah. I was like, I don't care.
He's your toddler baby.
He's my baby. Mm-hmm. So he's a boo-boo. But what's been really cool about that is in the 13 days, I'm already in the triple digits and I'm already close to $300 just from 13 days.
That's awesome.
And that doesn't tell me, that doesn't mean that I already had like 3,000. Like, I don't know how it all worked out, but I ended up just basically being like, okay, I have almost $300 in there now. Cool. Mm-hmm. So I just keep putting the money away and it just keeps adding up.
Yeah.
And then I also under attraction, I decided that I wanted to learn to invest. Mm. I really am shitty at it. I'm not good at investing. I don't even know what I'm doing. But I did download an app called Robinhood. Mm-hmm. They should sponsor us. But it's called Robinhood, and you can link your bank account if you want, and you can. Well, I guess that's the only way you can. And then I've made investments now, and like I know we talk about small businesses and all the things, and I'm totally gonna support all that. But I also am like down to play the stock market because I have stocks.
You sound like such a grown up.
I'm trying to be.
You know,
grown
Matt,
up.
My partner, he does the stock market, and it,
does he?
I'm always just like. When he talks about it, I just get this like glazed over look. I'm like, that's just too adult for me. I'm not there yet.
That is totally Gavin. Gavin's the one that showed me the Robinhood app.
Okay.
That's why him and Matt should probably hang out.
They should be friends. You
they
guys,
will
if
be
you're
friends.
Listening, you guys need to just hang out already.
Yeah, you guys will hang out. Oh, yeah, we are tomorrow.
Never mind.
We are hanging out. And then, you know, lastly, under attract, I added in some other things because I wanted just one other thing, and it was teach weekly yoga nidra. And that is my way of giving back to my community and also making sure that I still maintain a circle of influence that is sustainable for me. And that's something that I really had to check in with these five promises is they had to be challenging yet sustainable. And that's what I think is really important to a self-care practice because your self-worth can't be negotiable, but the aspects of your self-care practice can. And that's what's really beautiful, you know? So when we're checking in with our self-worth, like I am tired AF the last few days. And I know it's just from like working. I did a ton of massages this week. My mom's death anniversary, mm-hmm. like I've been doing a ton of renovations and movement around in my own home, and now I'm tired. And so like I'm looking at and will probably enforce in my movement for the next few days, which I already have started to do. a lot more of gentler practices. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to do some restorative, or I'm going to just do a 60-minute, take Yogi for a walk for 30 minutes and then do a 30-minute restorative practice. Yeah. You know, like, there's a lot of options, and it really allows me to check in with my primary promises and then cultivate what's needed on a day-by-day basis. Mm-hmm. You know, but I have my primary, like, pillars in there. You know, I know that a healthy diet is important. Mm-hmm. And so I've committed to that, you know, and that just really, for me, a healthy diet means I'm limiting my fried foods. Like, I'm limiting my cheese because that shit's delicious. And I'm obviously doing no alcohol. And I have never felt more hydrated in my entire life. I can tell when I've drank less than a half a gallon now. Like, I can feel when I'm dehydrated. Yeah, my body lets me
you
know.
You look good. You're, like, glowing. I was thinking that earlier. I was like, good. Her face is so bright.
Yeah, look at me. No, just kidding. Follow me. Follow Megan. You can find me at Holly Nicole Healing on Instagram. And then Yoga in the Dark on Instagram. If you want to email us, you can go yogainthedark@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Anything else?
My Instagram is @MeganConnorYogi.
That's right. Find her. Mm-hmm. She's teaching some online classes, or class, I think, on Thursdays. I'm teaching an online Nidra on Tuesdays. Different places, both online.
My class is in person.
Oh, your class is in person? Mm-hmm. Snap. It's not online anymore? Mm-mm. Oh, never mind, guys. No, if you live in Denver, come see
Megan. If you live in Denver, come to Somatic Synergies and take my 7 p.m. Nidra Fusion class on Thursdays.
That's perfect.
You have to sign up ahead of time. There's 12 spots because of COVID, but we do wear masks the whole time. We social distance. It's very safe.
That's awesome. Cool.
And I think we might be offering it online as well soon.
I think I saw some of it because I have ClassPass, mm-hmm. and I saw Somatic and Synergies. Yeah. On ClassPass.
Yep, it's on ClassPass. If you have ClassPass, get up on it.
Get on up.
Come
on
see
it.
Me. Mm-hmm. And take Holly's class too.
Yeah, so my class is on Tuesdays over Zoom. It may have an in-class option down the line, but for now, I enjoy teaching it online, and I'm really, it's funny. I never thought I would enjoy teaching Nidra online as much as I do. But what I'm finding is a lot of people who probably would never step foot into a yoga studio are accessing Nidra because it's online and they can do it from the comfort of their own homes. Mm-hmm. That to me is amazing. So I have people who probably, like I said, I can tell, and they've said, like, I would feel nervous stepping into a studio. So they can do it from home, and it's still a transmission of, like, energetic power. And it's so many people have reflected to me that they're experiencing so much from this practice on a weekly basis. So, yeah.
Awesome. And how do people sign up for that?
So you can go to my Instagram page. You can go to my our Denver Collective page, I believe. And then you can also go to my website, which is www.hollynicolehealing.com. And you can sign up online through under my services or classes page. And then it's the same link every week.
Oh, cool.
So you can also go onto my Instagram, and that it's there in my posts and in my bio, I believe.
Awesome.
I should check that. But it's the same link every week. So once you sign up, you just can keep that ID and put a little reminder in your phone. And that's what everybody else has been doing. And cool. Yeah, it's awesome.
Sweet. Super stoked.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's it. That's all she wrote.
Thanks, Holly.
Yeah. How do you feel about it? Are you going to self-care more now? You gonna limit your Instagram time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really an Instagrammer.
I know. I spend way more on social media than you do.
I have a lot of trouble getting on social media. I have to, like, make myself get on social media because I feel obligated to.
See, I need that. I feel, like, drawn to.
But you don't like TV. You hate watching TV. See, I love watching. I just like to put on TV and zone out. That is so true. So we're opposite and the same.
Yes.
No, I'm definitely gonna self-care. I think I probably drink a gallon of water at least a day.
I know, but I've always known that about you. It's inspiring.
Well, pregnancy really makes you thirsty. Sorry, everyone's gonna get so sick of me saying pregnancy. I promise I will be pregnant forever. I will talk about other things eventually.
No, she won't. Eventually,
she'll talk about her baby.
Little Nova.
But yeah, I'm definitely, I feel more inspired to like read more of my books more often, you know, like at the end of the night when I put my son down, you know, instead of just being like, I'm too tired to do anything, I'm going to turn on the TV, just being like, just get into bed and read. You're fine.
Yeah.
Or taking a bath. My New Year's resolution is to take more baths.
I love that.
So I want to take a bath. Like, yeah. I would take a bath every night if I could, you know, yeah. and doing that mm-hmm. stuff instead.
So important.
Just the things that are crutches, you know, where you feel like you enjoy it, but at the same time, you know it's not good for you.
Well, and the thing that I know happens is we affect the, from a scientific perspective, from a neuroscience perspective, we affect the synaptic wiring and firing. The brain is designed to go towards what's easiest mm-hmm. and what feels the like path of least resistance, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it feels good to kind of binge watch some shows mm-hmm. and just like literally hit play and not have to think about mm-hmm. anything else, right? But what that does to the neurological wiring and firing in our brain is it actually isn't that great for us. It fries the brain to the degree that the brain then is like, doesn't know how to fall asleep, mm-hmm. doesn't know how to settle down, doesn't mm-hmm. know how to slow down.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's just so much to it. We can awesome. Just keep going and going, but we're not gonna.
We're not going to talk for 3 hours this
not
time.
Not like we used to.
Maybe
can
next
you believe
time
that that's
lucky.
How long our podcast used to be?
No.
Like our first one was like an hour and a half. How long are we doing?
I can't believe anyone ever listened again.
Yeah, we're doing great. We're at an hour and 11 minutes.
All right. We need to stop. That's a magic number. Bye.
Bye. We love you.